So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Transform your home in one weekend and save big money at Menards. Protect and enjoy your outdoor living space with Thompson's semi-transparent wood sealer. It maintains wood's natural color and provides durable year-round protection from water and sun damage in just one coat. Save big money on Thompson's water seal products. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Save big money at Menards.
Again,
hoping that no one rings the buzzer this time.
Oh my god, they better not.
The little cold open we did last episode was only the tip of the iceberg of the actual buzzification of smell you later that day. There was like four buzzers. We had to cut that entire starting, but
we did
get a nice laugh out of it. I love to laugh.
Official smell you later stance. I love to laugh.
Exactly.
Welcome back to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast about
laughing,
loving, living,
about boys, taxes, and your buzzer, and sometimes fragrance.
I feel like post Thanksgiving, the beauty holiday mailers just start raining.
And thank God.
It's a bit much, but also at the same time, part of me is like, ooh, this is really great. I should give this to someone.
Oh,
and my
yeah.
head is like, no. Keep it for yourself.
Well, it's also a huge perk of our job is that we have all this shit that we can give away throughout the year. And it's really nice to be able to give people things that they love for no reason. But then the holidays come and I have all these fucking gifts, but I can't give them because I work in beauty. It's like, what do I look like giving a fucking fragrance
to
someone?
That's what I always think.
And it's, I don't want to be
gonna know.
Corny or tacky, but it's like, I got this for free and now I'm giving it to you. Like, they know.
They know.
But it's also like, I can't even buy anything beauty for someone because they're going to think it's PR.
Exactly. They're gonna be like, oh, you just got this for free and you're like ditching it on me. And on the other side, I'm just like, yeah.
I guess some people have real problems, but that's mine. So
I love to gift people beauty products just willy-nilly. Yeah. If friends come over and they're like, do you have eye cream? I'm like, please, I have so many. Please take as many as you want. But when it comes to actual holidays or birthdays or any like gift giving occasion, I'm like, ah, this doesn't feel right.
Now I have to think.
Ugh. Yeah.
My least favorite thing to do.
Now I have to think about who you are and the things you would like and use and would appreciate.
Do you ever think about a friend? It's like, what are they like?
Yeah.
What are they into?
I have that issue the most with my parents because they're always like, I don't want anything. But I'm like, I know you're secretly going to be disappointed if I don't get you anything.
Yep.
Just tell me.
My parents are awful to
buy for. It is the song and dance every year.
Right.
Don't say you don't want anything if you actually want anything.
It's funny. Well, my mom's easy because she's fun, so I just buy her like heels or something. But my dad, it's like, has no hobbies and all he does is work. Like, does it remind you of anyone? Me?
Same with my dad. He has no hobbies and he's retired now, which is alarming.
He also has no vices. It's like, ugh.
That's the thing. I'm like, you don't like to do anything except watch like CSI and Fox News.
Right. Can't you take up smoking?
Get a job. Get a job. Sometimes I think that. I'm like, I think like elderly people need to work because... That once you lose this, not like in a mean way.
That's the most
like,
American thing you've ever said.
Just like you, like people need a sense of purpose. Otherwise, their health declines.
Yeah.
That's what I was worried about. I was like, once you stop working, that's when the aches and pains are going to start settling in. And I was hoping that my parents would get dogs after my dad retired. I'm like, oh, I'll keep you busy. But they're like, no. And then my brother and his demonic chihuahua moved in. So I got a dog.
Right. My parents can't stop getting dogs.
They're so cute.
I know they are so cute.
They're huge.
They're large.
They're boxers, right?
Yeah, they're boxer pit mixes.
Oh my god.
They're just like
beefy boys.
They're literally like the shape of a pig.
Yeah.
Really, truly. That's the only thing I can one has really short legs, so she does look like a little hog.
Aww.
They like weigh as much as I do.
It's like when parents have empty nest syndrome. Mm-hmm. It's like you need to get a replacement
totally.
Of something to care for. This hoggy dog, fat little guy.
When my boyfriend and I went home in July, mm-hmm. the dogs were obsessed with me, but then he got there mm-hmm. and they are obsessed with him.
It's so funny.
And it's to the point where I keep having to tell them to get off him. Yeah. So then I'm the bad guy and it's funny. They'll walk by me and just glare and then go and snuggle up next to him. I'm like, you can have him. I don't care anymore. I never want to get a dog.
I don't think I love dogs, but I wouldn't want to get a dog by myself.
Yeah.
If I co-parented a dog, maybe. But even then.
Even that, it's like everything in New York is so fucking hard and expensive.
I would rather marry someone than get a dog with them.
I sometimes
marriages are easier to dissolve than a dog.
That though, yeah.
You can annul a marriage, you can't annul a dog. But I don't know. I had pets before, but they're a lot. Like even a goldfish was a lot. You have to do so much water chemical monitoring mm-hmm. with them, and I didn't realize that when I got one, and then. I would go on these like aquarium hobbyist forums and they just like shame me. Dude, these fucking pet owner forums are so shamey.
I certainly never want to be in an aquarium hobbyist forum.
No. Also that. I was like, guys, get a life.
But we celebrate pets for all those who love them. We sound like such awful people. We've started this podcast and so far talked shit on pets and our parents.
Someone has to say it, okay? May as well be us.
I'm going home in 3 weeks. They're going to be like, you don't have a bed here anymore.
I love other people's dogs. Let's put it that way.
Yes, same. And other people's kids. Let's not go down that road.
Yeah.
Is that the By the Fireplace mailer?
Yes.
Does it have the candle?
Yes.
Yes.
So good. They did everything in gold. I was like, they should have done a Willy Wonka. I've got the golden perfume or something like that. I don't know. They do send nice mailers, Maison Margiela.
Yes. All right.
Yeah. Speaking of Margiela, I had a bizarre, intense case of the shoppies last week. Mm-hmm. And it was like everything that I had been intending to get for the house and then other things I wanted and her had been eyeing because it was like Black Friday. Mm. So I was like all at once. And then I had like intense guilt about buying all the shit that I don't need. One of which including this Maison Margiela triangle bag.
Really?
That I'd wanted forever, in specifically the silver. But it was like the Essence sale.
Yeah.
Essence spelled S-S-E-N-S.
Yeah.
My first S-S-E-N-S purchase. And things were actually marked down quite a bit. So
yeah, they
nice.
Know what they're doing.
But then I got it and it was like way smaller than I thought. I was like, gonna have to ship that back to Canada.
This one?
Yeah, but in silver. And I remember ages ago, I had got the correct or the size I wanted, like the big size triangle bag, but it was gray suede.
Oh.
And then I just got like denim stains all over it
from
wearing it on my shoulder against my body. I was like, this is fucking ruined. And I was like, why did I, a 20-something-year-old at the time, think I deserved suede? Because I fucking did not.
Kara texted me and Rachel yesterday about this shearling coat and that she bought and it's beautiful, mm-hmm. but I wanted to be like, I'm too gross for suede. I can't like
suede,
leather.
Dude.
I could do.
Yes.
I no.
Yeah.
It's like between lipstick and beer. Mm-hmm. That thing is.
I don't
deserve
suede.
No.
I just don't take care of things, and I think I take care of my things quite well. But when it comes to just the pristine carefulness you need for suede, absolutely not.
That's the thing. It's like I do take care of my shit, but it's also like suede is a sponge.
It is.
And we live in New York.
Suede shoes?
No.
Absolutely not. Couldn't do it. I need to figure out a way to fucking erase these denim stains and use the thing that I have. And even though I got that bag as well on deep discount because that was the only way I could afford it as a 20-something-year-old, mm-hmm. it was one of those I've made it purchases. I bought my first designer bag.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was like nobody knew who Margiela was, really. But it was just at some like fancy boutique in the neighborhood. Mostly, I just liked that it was a triangle.
Yeah, I actually had one of those I've made it purchase
really?
Moments last week when I bought a very expensive trash can.
Dude, those.
I'm like.
The simple human trash can.
Yes. I was like.
It's always simple human.
I thought being an adult would be way cooler than this, but.
You're like,
I got
this. Was it? Is it the one that like automatically opens?
No, I didn't need that one. I wanted the two canisters for recycling and trash because recycling is important. Shout out to the earth.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, I guess I own this now.
Yeah. That's. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm happy for you and your refuse. But yeah, I was like, I should use the bag that I have. Because I'm not going to sell it because it's sentimental rather than buy a new younger bag.
Yeah.
Which when I got it, I realized it was not even real leather. And I was like, you crooks. You fucking crooks. How dare you make it faux leather?
That is rude.
Okay, sure. Spin it to be vegan. Whatever. That's what I get for trying to be fancy.
Yeah, I gotta keep reminding myself that like there's always going to be another purchase and like none of it matters or makes me happy.
That's the thing too, because I had like such a weird fixation
on,
like,
getting items. Always a fixation, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would spend like an entire afternoon like scrolling, and then I'm like, what is, like, what am I avoiding? What void am I trying to fill right now? And then I had to think about it, and I was like, I don't want to think about it because it's probably bad.
I think also part of it for me is the thrill of the find. You know what I mean? I love, my stupid ass is loves to really hunt down old tour merch or this old design or something or other that's not expensive. It's just hard to find. And it's, I think that is so much of it for me too. But then it's, oh, I don't want it's like hooking up on Grindr. I don't want this. Yes. I just, it, the thrill of the going through the motions was fun.
Exactly.
I don't want to go to your house and come. You know what I mean?
No.
Yes. And the funny thing is, like, the purchases that are the most actually gratifying or fulfilling are the fucking boring ones, like the stupid trash can.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. All of the like quality of life things that you can do for yourself is truly, that is it.
All the boring ones that stick around to make your life better but aren't fun in the moment when it's a big conversion. Yep. It's like, ugh, this sucks.
I know. I know. Absolutely.
Anyways, this is a life coaching podcast.
This is a life coaching.
Yeah, clearly we're doing.
I feel like
very
we need
well.
To. We need. Yeah, it's like we need to open this holiday episode with a cautionary tale about consumers.
Yes, I feel like I nailed the Christmas shopping of it all this year.
Really,
but I don't want to say it on the mic.
But you can't. They're gonna know. You'll be like, you listen to this show. That's illegal.
Yeah,
right. And now I can't trust you.
Well, it's like I know he doesn't listen, but the one fucking episode he will listen to is this one. Like completely blow his gift.
Okay, is it material, experiential, or there's a third. I forgot the other.
It's material.
Okay.
But
okay.
It's
sometimes material slap.
Things can't make you happy until they can.
I think the reason that I was feverishly adding to cart and purchasing was that now that I'm in between book processes and waiting on the copy editing to be given to me to look over, I'm like, I don't really have a purpose for this month. I have nothing to do really. And like all it's caused me to do is just shop, sleep a lot, procrastinate. The few assignments that I do have, it takes me forever to do because I just procrastinate them. So I'm like, yeah, people really do need hobbies. You need a sense of purpose. Otherwise, you just start to think about existence too much.
Yeah, and I would rather not. What is the story with the edits right now?
It's in copy edits right now.
Like the final?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like a copy editor is different from your editor.
Right.
And I'm not entirely sure what they do, but basically it's they go in to make sure that everything makes sense. Grammatically or continue, I don't know. They just do all the really detailed edits of making sure everything makes sense. I think they do a little bit of fact checking. I guess I'll find out when I get them back.
Yeah.
Which should be sometime next week, but we'll see. And then I'm also still awaiting book cover design.
Oh God.
Template designs options. Okay. So yikes. Yeah. We can tie in. What are you?
Sorry about that. I've been a lot of life changes lately.
Yes, which we can talk about when you're ready.
All good things, just stressful things at the moment.
But what do you smell like today, Tynan?
I'm on my Sable Yong tip once again. I smell, what am I wearing? Mugler?
Mugler Angel Muse.
Mugler Angel Muse.
Yes.
I didn't put anything on this morning before I came over because I wanted to wear, honestly, something of yours and a gourmand that I have not worn previously. And I had been really curious about this one ever since you talked about it. So I stole it from you. And you described this, if I remember correctly, as a warm, spicy, sweet situation, which I guess is, now that I say this, very in the Mugler wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But this, to me, was an intriguing angle that I wasn't personally expecting from them. And I really like it. The build of it is pink pepper, grapefruit, hazelnut, cocoa spread. So Nutella.
Are they just not allowed to say Nutella because it's a brand name?
Right. And patchouli and vetiver. And to me, it's like a really smooth cinnamon balm, but in a way that's incredibly nice. I really like it.
It's definitely one of my favorite flankers of Angel.
Yeah.
Of which there are so many.
So many.
But I feel like this one actually stays true to the original Angel the most of the ones I've smelled. Because I've smelled Angel Nova, which is just like a burst of raspberry. It's like very fruity. It's like very hot pink. Mm-hmm. Angel Elixir, which is also very fruity. Mm-hmm. But this one is actually, it's just like very peppery and spicy, which I love. Oh, you're right.
I do smell like the seed of Angel in here. Like I smell that original thought.
Oh, the hazelnut. That's what it is. The hazelnut cocoa spread, I feel, is what really ties it together. Mm-hmm. Makes it like chocolatey. Who made this? Quentin Bisch.
It's so funny that they do like the hazelnut cocoa spread. That's such a sort of note to build a whole fragrance around when you can't call it out. I mean, you can't. I know that's not...
I'm sure there's off-brand Nutella.
right. And I'm sure that though we think of Nutella as that, I'm sure they're not the only ones.
Yeah.
But it's just such a clunky, like a hazelnut cocoa spread. Yeah. It's like, okay, sure.
It's like if somebody like branded or like trademarked peanut butter.
Exactly. Thank you.
Say something else.
Right. No, I really like this. And it's also Angel for all of its angelness and being so polarizing. It's not a scent that I personally, I love wearing it, but it's not something that I wear every day or could wear every day.
I cannot wear it. It's so strong.
This is something though that I could.
Yeah.
Because it tames Angel and brings something new to the table without making it like super overpowering. Mm-hmm. So I really love it.
What's kind of cool is I realized when I went to Scent Explore this week, which is like a fragrance convention somewhere, but I was invited by Amouage and they had a booth with Farmaniche where they were explaining their newest scent, King Blue. They had the isolated notes in comps spray bottles. So they could say, this is what the pink pepper is. This is what the Australian sandalwood is. And the pink pepper on its own, I was like, oh, this is what I like in every scent that has it.
Oh.
Because honestly, it seemed like it could be a scent on its own. Just really? Like the pink pepper note.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm sure they wouldn't really do that, but it was obviously peppery and punchy, but it still had this smooth, almost leathery sweetness to it. Mm. I was like, wow, this is good just on its own.
Yeah.
And they also had a patchouli. I forget what type of patchouli it was, but it was, they called it like a young patchouli, which I'm assuming that means it's the plant is young when they harvest it.
Sure.
But it had that same chocolate lava cake quality.
Oh.
That you find in Angel
Magnetique.
And Patchouli Magnetique. So I was like, oh, this is it. And it was really, so it was like really neat to smell those. And I was like, in my head, I was like, why don't you just make these perfumes?
I don't know what got into me this week, but I went back to Patchouli Magnetique on Monday or Tuesday. And I know I texted you about it, but it, like, I just forgot how fucking good that scent is. And I know that I like it, but man, I mean, that one is... There's just something about it. It's like full, like we always say, like it's like the earth, dirt, and chocolate cake. It's so beautiful and just feels so plush and like a warm blanket. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. It made me realize, I'm like, oh, Patchouli Magnetique is probably just like an overdose of this with like maybe like something else tropical over it. But yeah, you texted me about that, I remember. And then I like went back to my little perfume closet to smell it. And I was like, yep.
Yep. I just, I always say it, and it's as true as it is not true, but I don't really love patchouli, especially the idea of what we think of it as, but I don't really get any of that in it. You know what I mean? Yeah. If I were to smell it, I'd be like, yeah, there's more than likely patchouli in here grounding it, but I wouldn't think of it as a patchouli scent, but fuck, is it good.
It's really good. That's also a scent that I can only do one spray.
You don't need more.
Yeah.
I did two, but... That's and I was good. And
yeah,
the minute I woke up the following day before I hopped in the shower, it's like before I opened my eyes, I smelled it. And it was, that's not to say it was like super strong, but it certainly
lingers. Which I guess is good if it's an X-ray and you're like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And they're not inexpensive. I wouldn't say they're astronomical, but they're certainly an investment. I think they're like just over three. I could be wrong.
But it's only 15.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. So it is up there. But I thought to myself, like, if I was doing the, I'm going to invest in a signature scent and wear it until it's out, I wouldn't have a problem doing this if I was going to buy one thing, you know?
I feel like wearing this scent every day, though, is so heavy.
Yeah.
That would be a bit much.
Yeah.
I feel like when people have quote unquote signature scents, it's a little bit subtle, generally.
Yeah, it depends on the person.
That's true. You're right. But imagine wearing Angel every single day.
And I'm sure there are people who do. But
I'm sure there are people who do, but you're right. Yeah. I'm like, you must be a smoker because you can't smell all of this.
But everyone else can.
Yeah. On a good smell day, if I spray Angel in my apartment, mm-hmm. it will make me car sick.
Oh, yeah. Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell like today?
I smell like Gucci, a chant for the nymph.
Oh.
It's part of their Alchemist Garden collection. Mm-hmm. It's the pink bottle. I thought it was new, but now I'm reading that it came out in 2020.
Oh.
So I'm like, well, new to me.
Okay.
I'm always like a little behind on the whole Alchemist collection.
Well, they don't really talk about it.
They don't talk. Apparently Gucci's just very secretive or very protective about that. I don't know why, but this is, to me, it's like a burst of white florals.
Hmm.
They call it frangipani.
Okay.
Which I didn't know was like the flowers they use in Hawaiian leis, but cool.
Neither did I.
Yeah. Frangipani, ylang ylang, tiar, vanilla. So you can imagine it's just like this really delicious white floral, but it's a very tropical light white floral bouquet.
Ooh,
yeah. It's nice. It's not that like really powdery, heavy grandma like white floral. So it's like kind of light, which I really like. There's like a green dewiness to it, which I think keeps it fresh and not too overpowering.
Totally.
Alberto Marias made this one.
All right.
Same dude who did Marc Jacobs Daisy and CK1.
Yeah, I mean, immediately you know it's a white floral, but I do think the tropical spin that you said is totally accurate. And you're right, it's not like a fruity tropicalness, but there is just something like dewy and sunny about it. Yeah. It's pretty.
I find all the names for these Alchemist Garden scents so funny.
These names are out of control.
They're so funny.
A Gloaming Night.
A Gloaming Night.
Please.
They're like Edgar Allan Poe.
Literally.
Books.
They just have this like undercurrent of doom.
Yeah.
You know?
But what's really funny is I saw the name for this and I'm like, a chant for the nymph. You mean slut anthem. And it's like a pink bottle. And for some reason, every scent that's, this is about femininity and sexuality and sensuality, they're always white florals. And I'm like, why is that? Like, why is that?
I don't know.
Or things that are like Hollywood, old glamour. It's a white floral.
Always white floral.
What's the deal?
Rose. I think when I think of Hollywood,
Rose
I think
is the
Rose.
Second most popular in that genre.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But for some reason, I'm like, why does the white floral have such a reputation for being slutty?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Fraca is the OG white rose that everybody calls out. It's funny, on the Gucci website, it says, a symbol of mortality for the heavenly, enduring smell it releases on warm nights. Frangipani flower defines the perfume and evokes the story of a mythical nymph who appears in a long-forgotten summer night dream. What? Okay. Sure.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah, it's giving sure.
It's giving okay. It's a beautiful scent.
Yeah.
And as far as like all of the other Alchemist Garden scents I've smelled have been so strong and so overpowering, like old world where it's super heavy.
Right.
And this is probably the lightest one I've smelled.
I don't find them that strong or stronger than anything else, but I think old world is a good way to put it. There's something about them. And
it's
I
very
think,
like Rococo.
Yeah. It's
very
what?
Very opulent.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what? Rococo?
Rococo.
What does that mean?
That's like that over the top Marie Antoinette aesthetic. Yeah. It's like that.
Yes. Everything about it. You're so right. Yeah. And yeah, this is probably a me thing, not a Gucci Alchemist Garden thing, but I really like what I've smelled with them.
Mm-hmm. You love the Gloaming Night one. Right? The cinnamon one?
I am aware of it.
Yeah.
And I have worn it. I like it. Yeah. I don't love it. I wanted actually to like it more. I think I was really excited about it.
I remember that because you've definitely talked about it before in the pod.
I think I just hate the name. And I was really excited to get it on me. And it is nice. It pays off in its promise. But I think all of them, there's an iris one and a...
Yeah. I've smelled the iris one, the violet one.
The violet one. Thank you.
Yeah.
I just think they're classic almost to their detriment.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
They make them the super luxury one, the super high-end collection of Gucci. And I think I would like a little bit more from them. And if I was going to wear a Gucci scent, I would so much rather wear anything from their normal collection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think they're like more fun and more delicious.
Mm-hmm. The Gucci Bloom, that's like the really popular one.
Okay.
For the girls.
Yeah.
That's also like kind of like a big white flower bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I think the girls just love a white floral. It's very girly.
I wish they didn't. Did Gucci just release two new ones, right?
They did, yeah. These come out, I feel like they released two of these a year, I feel.
Not these, though. The normal collection.
Oh.
It's like, I don't know if it's Guilty or something, but it's like that line.
Maybe another, yeah, there's like another flanker of Guilty, which like, okay, people love that.
Yeah.
It's funny because the bottle for Gucci Guilty reminds me so much of like early 2000s old perfume commercials. I think Evan Rachel Wood and one of the Chris's was in the original Gucci Guilty ad. Oh, and there's like sexily being sexy
right
next to one another. I don't think I've actually ever smelled Gucci Guilty. It's like one of the more popular scents. Yeah.
I think I get the feeling it's more popular with men than women.
I agree. Yeah.
It is nice though.
Sure.
What are we talking about today, Sable?
As it is nearing the end of 2023, Spotify Wrapped season. And as we always sometimes do on Smell You Later, we do Smell You Later Wrapped.
Smell You Later Wrapped.
Where we do a little review of the scents that we wore the most, talked about the most. Yeah, that's mostly it for the year.
Spotify Wrapped Day is basically like a gay holiday because everyone starts posting obvious and predictable, you know, roundups. But it is fun to see, and it's fun to see your own.
It's kind of rigged, though.
How do you mean?
If I listen to an artist, like one album from one artist, and I listen to it, I just let it play all the way through without skipping. Spotify thinks that I'm obsessed with them, and it will put their songs on every single algorithmic playlist. And I listen to a lot of the algorithmic playlists mostly, like the daily mixes. So then it's like racking up hits that it's like kind of self-created.
Sure.
So every year it's, you love Mitski. I'm like, I really don't. I think she's fine, but I don't actively select to listen to Mitski, but you do it for me. So now you think, and just because I don't skip the track.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. But the last 5 years running, Lana Del Rey has been my top artist. And I'm like, you think I want to listen to I like Lana Del Rey, but I can't actively remember when I choose a track for it.
Well, you know, you can like change the song.
Yeah, I'm lazy though. I just like press play and I'm like, do your thing, Spotify.
You do like a playlist though.
I do like
a playlist. I am more of an album girl. I know what I want. Yeah. And I never listen to playlists. And when I do, I've made them myself.
I like the algorithm playlist because they gradually introduce me to new artists. So I've like discovered a lot of new artists that way. But they really double down when I like something. And they're like, oh, you like this? I'll play it on every single playlist that I can.
Okay.
What are the categories for Smell You Later Wrapped?
So our first category is top genre, meaning like what perfume family?
The genre.
What is yours, actually?
I think it was actually gourmand. I did a lot more gourmands this
year. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even I feel like when you didn't, there was a heavy gourmand lean to whatever you did do. Mm-hmm.
I really got into the vanilla scents this year.
Yeah. Well, my genre is obviously gourmand. Yes. So there's that.
I feel like I veer spicy gourmand and like sweet gourmand. Because you like fruity stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really drawn to I'm drawn more to like the spicy stuff.
I feel like my baseline is spicy gourmand, but I'll fucking put anything on my body. Yeah, I feel like it often goes fruity, but if I had to pick something, I would go spicy.
Yes. I think my gateway into the gourmand in this past year was Killian Princess.
Oh my
God. I was obsessed with that, like all winter.
You really were obsessed with that.
Yeah, I wore that so much in the winter. And I was like, am I a girl? I think I'm a girl.
You really hyperfixate on fragrances like that often.
I do not.
You could not get off Killian Princess. And it's funny because I was obsessed with those at varying points before and throughout this show.
Yep.
And then when you started talking about Killian Princess, I was like, wait a minute, now you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the one that you love is so good.
What's funny is I remember smelling that when they first came out at the launch party. And I was like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
This smells like whatever other girly girl smell is. Don't care. And then for some reason, maybe it was just like my brain changed. Maybe they changed the scent. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I suddenly recognized like all the little complexities within it in the past year.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's so funny. That's so cool. And it's cool because it reminds me of when I first moved to New York because they had just came out that fall and I became obsessed with them. And then they were, I think, nice enough to like find some in the back room for me and sent me all of them, most of them. And I really love them. I should wear them more than I do. But it's odd because I feel like they came and went really fast.
They did.
And I think that they were made for the Sephora customer. I think that was probably like a demand from Sephora that we get an exclusive collection.
Yep.
And I think it flopped.
It did flop.
So I wonder what about it made them bring Princess back. But I'm happy they did.
I'm sure they were like, you don't need 5 cents that all smell really similar.
That we demanded you make.
Yeah. I'm sure that I wouldn't put it past them to do that. So they were just like, let's just take the best-selling one
and then do that. They put it in the normal bottle and then put it back in Sephora.
Yeah.
It's giving, whatever it takes.
I forget what the other names were. They were like sentences really that were very cringy. But I do feel like the name princess probably draws people in. It's one of those marketing words that people just are drawn to.
Mm-hmm. Vera Wang has princess too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think there's a bestseller for there.
A bunch of princess fragrances.
There are.
For obvious reasons.
Specifically fragrances with matcha and saffron, not necessarily together, but if a scent had matcha or saffron in it, I was immediately drawn to it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It is sort of, I mean, I know it's been the vanilla scents year.
Yeah.
But matcha's having a moment, yeah. and rightfully so.
Yeah.
I think it culturally makes a ton of sense. But yeah, I mean, matcha was really doing it this year.
I know. Sometimes I feel like the early renditions of matcha fragrances were not that good. They veered a little too green tea.
Yeah.
And I think the green tea scent interpretation does not smell like green tea at all.
Right.
It smells very fresh and
yeah.
green and like a sweet. It's almost like it's tempered with a little bit of citrus. So it's like a little zestier,
yes,
but
totally.
Like it does not smell like green tea.
Yep.
And then I think some perfume house like finally got it right. Whatever accord, some proprietary accord, I'm sure. And then suddenly everyone was like, now we got it. We can do matcha properly, because the Maison Margiela replica one, Matcha Meditation, huge.
Well, I think also, maybe I don't want to get too galaxy brain about it, but if you think, and I don't also just want to repeat what you just said, but green tea notes are one thing, and I definitely feel like there's a consumer for that.
Yeah.
Like the Jo Malone girl.
Yep.
But then think about the Brooklyn girl with her matcha latte and this and that, and how big vanilla is right now.
Yeah.
And how big gourmands and like comforting homey scents are post-pandemic, and how close vanilla and matcha can be.
Yeah.
They're not similar, but they go really well together. It's like, I feel like it's a really easy needle to thread of, oh, this matcha scent, which is actually vanilla, but green, you know, and it gives that, like you said, Margiela did it first with the matcha meditation, like the latte of it all. I don't know.
I think when people hear matcha, what they want is matcha latte.
Yes. Yes.
Because if you had actual matcha, it would be a lot sharper and more aromatic, not as creamy and milky. Because like when I think of green tea notes, I think of Prescriptive's Calyx, which is like a scent from the 90s that Clinique bought and totally changed the formula, but it's still same vibe, but totally different fragrance. But that's what I think of. I think there was like an Elizabeth Arden green tea scent as well.
That sounds right. I do think Jo Malone had one too.
Yeah. But they all smelled the same to me. But yeah.
I think there's room for both.
There is room for both.
Totally.
But I always thought it was weird when I smelled it that I was like, this isn't green tea.
Right.
The same way like grape flavor. I'm like, this isn't grapes. And then I realized it, the flavor is based on Concord grapes.
Yeah.
Not the red grapes and the green grapes you buy at the grocery store. Sorry, that was top genre.
Yeah. Mine is obviously gourmand. Top note.
This year, I gotta say vanilla, a top note this year.
I know. Unfortunately, I have to agree. But
yeah.
I feel like that's so obvious for me that I should take it out of my equation.
Sometimes obvious is it, though.
That is true. It has been.
I'm trying to think of another. I would say pistachio, but.
Oh, yeah.
It's only really in one scent.
And two.
I don't think it was like everywhere.
Three?
I
feel like.
Yeah, that's true.
It's funny that you said it, because I wore Patchouli Magnétique this week, I wore the Kaoli pistachio quite a bit. And you were right. All I had to do was spray a little bit more of it to get it to stick around. Most obvious thing I've ever said. But
Just wear more.
I really like it. I think as a scent, I still probably prefer Dies and Durga. But
you know what also? Cherry.
Cherry, I feel like, has been a slow burn, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I
feel agree. Like cherry's top five, but not at the top. They're at the bottom of the top five. Cherry, pistachio, vanilla. There was like a citrus note that I was like,
Yuzu
didn't pop off the way I wanted it to.
Oh, you're right.
But I do feel like citruses in general.
Lychee, passion.
Lychee, passion fruit, mandarin. Seen a lot of mandarin. Ginger, pineapple. Pineapple has been, I've been seeing a lot more pineapple.
I wish.
Yeah. Or maybe people are just calling it out more.
Yeah.
It's always been there. Who knows?
I certainly think my top note is obviously vanilla.
I think vanilla overall wins by a landslide.
Yeah.
But these are all other things that I was like, oh, there was a lot more of those.
You know what I don't want to happen, though?
What?
I feel like we culturally have leaned so far into vanilla
that
I don't want this to then cause a course correction of swinging back and...
What's the opposite of vanilla, though? Musk? Even musk is like...
citrus.
Citrus?
Yeah.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. Which, I mean, like, fine.
Yeah.
And just because if trends go the other way, it doesn't mean I have to, of course, but...
Now I'm wondering if there's ever been a citrus vanilla.
Sure.
like a creamsicle situation.
Of course. Yeah. But what I don't want to happen is like a year from now, be like, oh God, that's when everyone was like wearing vanilla scents, you know? And it's like, vanilla is valid.
I think vanilla has always steadily been in perfume.
Yeah, totally.
But it just had a marketing perhaps or cultural resurgence in, it was just called out a lot more.
Yeah, totally.
Whereas maybe earlier it was downplayed. Because mm-hmm. like so many fragrances have vanilla in it that just don't call it out.
It's like patchouli in that way.
Exactly.
You know it or not.
Yeah.
Top brand. Ooh. Oh yeah, top perfume and top brand. Yeah. Top perfume.
That's a tough one.
That is a really tough one. Oh, no, it's not. I know mine.
Okay.
Duh.
You go first then.
I've not shut up about it this entire year. And if this episode is just us repeating everything we've already said, then thank you for listening. But my top perfume is Nette's La Farette.
Oh, you have said, you have mentioned that one a lot.
I just love it so much. And it's not a very, what you think of as a me fragrance, like at all. It might be the exact opposite, but my God, I love it. It's just so beautiful. It's just like blonde woods and ISO-y super and extremely light, mm-hmm. but intentional. It's just this nice sort of breezy, almost hollow wood, dry mm-hmm. wood. But there's also...
There's a little bit of sweetness to it.
I was going
to
say, when it dries down, it has this like almost skin-like sweetness. It is not sweet, but it does have a sweetness to it. Just something about it, I'm like, fuck, get off of your Santal 33 tip if anyone is still riding that and try this, because it is so good. And it also doesn't feel like it's trying to emulate anything else. I feel for as much shit as we talk on both of them, whatever. Glossier, you looked at Santal and was like, me too. This, it doesn't feel
they
like
it's... They don't smell anything alike,
do. But yeah, it doesn't feel like it's trying to fill like any sort of box.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I do feel like Glossier U through line of popular, it's funny, it's to me it smells very similar to a lot of these other popular quote-unquote girly scents, girly but sophisticated scents mm-hmm. that smell just. Benefit had a perfume called Maybe Baby. Charlotte Tilbury had a fragrance. I forget what it was called. It might have been their only fragrance, though, mm-hmm. that Kate Moss was the face of. And they all had that similar pink peppercorn, musk, cashmere vibe. Yeah.
I'm aware of both of those fragrances. I've never smelled them, though.
But it's like this specific genre of the girl perfumes that isn't overly floral. It's very musk-based, but in a specific powdery cashmere way that I tend to like. But I also think Victoria's Secret Bare also follows that through line.
Mm. Is that a little sweeter, though, a tiny bit? Or am I wrong?
A little bit.
Okay.
It's a little bit more floral.
Okay.
But it's, I don't know what that genre is called of the sparkling cashmere powdery musky scent, but that's the girls for the girls.
When I think of those scents, I think of you.
Mm-hmm. I think what they're trying to do is this is a feminine scent that's meant to be intimate and... subtle and not overpowering, and it's one of those quote-unquote skin scents, even though I'm like, it's not, it doesn't actually smell like skin, but it's just not meant to be overly punchy, even though the truth is if you spray anything on enough, it's gonna be overly punchy.
I hate Glossier.
Yeah, I know.
You know what though,
I don't know why, despite myself, I try to like it.
You did like it.
I do like it, but I like the scent as it is, but I don't feel like it's me. But I enjoy it.
Okay.
It's weird.
I feel like I am coming around to Santal 33, 80 years too late. It is what it is.
The scent I do like that's Glossier U adjacent truly is Brooklyn Ellis Super Amber.
I think I have a little vial of that hiding around mm-hmm. somewhere.
I have a travel vial that I got free with Credo points.
Okay.
And that is to me the most Glossier U adjacent scent that...
Okay.
That to me is like a child of Glossier U and Santal 33.
Huh. Okay. I'll try it.
It's subtler than Glossier U. It has a little bit more dry woods in it. But it's also intended to be like a musky skin scent.
Huh.
And also whenever I wear that and I get compliments, I'm like, of course you like this girly scent.
It's just so funny to think about how Ellis Brooklyn started as, I feel like, a collection of those light, musky, nothing, airy, staticky scents.
Yep.
And now we're seeing the second coming of Ellis. Yep. That's, I don't really know what to liken it to.
It's a lot punchier and juicier
and brighter. Everything. There's so much more personal. It's a lot more commercial. And I don't say that
they're
in a negative.
Also in Sephora.
Yeah. I don't say that in a negative way. I felt some type of way about Ellis Brooklyn for a really long time. And then they launched Vanilla Milk and I had to come around.
Part of me wonders if they just got more funding. and we're able to do those since.
I don't mean to be you about this, but I wonder if it's an investor thing being like, okay, but now you got to make things that people want to buy.
Because I remember the original collection, which was nice, but it was definitely intentionally made to be pretty translucent and sheer.
Which is cool. I mean, it's not for me, but I think a collection like that is cool.
I think the market it was aimed for were probably, they're the type of people who have a signature scent.
Yeah.
And it's probably designer. It's probably Hermes, one of those Jardin Hermes scents.
Yep.
And it was like trying to be like that, but it was too new. Nobody knew who they were. Yeah. That customer was already pretty much taken with their designer fragrances in order to appeal to fragrance heads with money because they're a little bit expensive. Yeah, give us a little bit more juice.
You know, if you start with a collection like that, how do you scale it? You know, and I'm not saying you can't, but it's like, okay, we have 4 to 6, nothing musky scents. What else? You know, I think maybe this is not the only direction you can go, but like, it's sort of the obvious one. I don't know.
Dude, this is why I don't have a perfume brand and I probably won't. Oh, but what did just occur to me is that another note of the year, honey. I feel like honey is going to be a 2024 creeper. It's like just coming up now.
Where was this in my honey era last year?
You had a honey era?
Yes.
That was like one scent.
I had a honey era, Sable.
With one scent?
No, because it actually started with Alice Brooklyn.
Yes, same,
and then
I know.
It went.
That's what made me think
through
about
a bunch of Killian.
Killian fragrances, I don't smell like the honey pulled out.
Everything else is on top of it.
It's a
lot of shit on shit. Remember how also, speaking of Alice, how obsessed I was and remain with Sunfruit? Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
You love the Sunfruit.
We love Sunfruit. Give it up for Sunfruit.
What's your favorite fruity scent? Is it Sunfruit?
No. It's Pulp. I think I told this story like last week, so I won't do it again. But like a girl who likes those musky scents came over and fell in love with Pulp. And it's for everyone. I need to wear it more. Oh.
I think my favorite is Hawthorne Canary Diamond. The pineapple in that?
Really?
So good.
I don't think of that one as... That is not, to me, what I would think of as fruity.
I think that's why I like it.
Yeah, I see that.
Because it has the telltale pineapple, but then it has like so much other
stuff. Telltale pineapple.
The telltale pineapple. But then it has like so much other stuff around it. I don't know. I've come to really like that scent. Not on me, but on...
Yeah.
People of the male persuasion.
Per male persuasion.
Person of the male persuasion.
Yeah.
That is this year's scent of men. What's stopping you from smelling like this for
sure,
me?
Sure, sure.
Hawthorne makes great scents for dudes, but this I think is like a standout.
Yeah.
Because the other ones I feel like I was like, okay, it's very formulaic.
Yeah,
like,
they're checking box.
Unintimidating masculinity. I get it. Like you want people to wear scent but not feel like... It's people who haven't worn scent before, so they don't want to feel overpoweringly scented.
Sure.
But I'm like, this is the expressive scent.
Hmm.
And what's funny, not funny, what's proving my point is I brought my then not boyfriend to the Hawthorne launch party for Canary Diamond, and everybody took a bottle home, and then he's been like wearing it every day, and he's like, literally everybody asks me what fragrance I'm wearing. Well, well, well.
Love that.
I made you.
Look at you, boy, I invented you.
Yes.
What did we just do? Perfume.
Perfume. Yes.
What did I say? Not La Ferrette. Okay. Whew.
You said La Ferrette.
Sorry.
What did I say? I don't think I said anything. Okay. I think my perfume, it's a tie. I don't know. Okay. You tell me what you think is more accurate. Dies and Durga Pistachio.
Okay.
Or Prada Paradox.
Oh, a Paradox.
Yeah.
Down.
That's what I thought. That's
yeah. I feel like that was.
I wore that a fuck ton.
You wore that a lot. Yeah.
That was, again, I think part of me wore it just because it was such a, again, impostery feeling fragrance because it was so, again, with the freaking white florals.
Yeah.
But again, the compliments. Well, off the hook.
People love. Did you get the.
No, not the intense. I have to call that in too.
Okay. Yeah. I want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, do I need to? I don't know.
You should.
Do I need to?
Yeah. Love the intense. You should reference it, you know.
I love intenses in general.
You do.
I feel like whenever there's an intense version of a fragrance, that's the one that I prefer.
I agree with that. You know what intense I'm excited about because you know it's coming.
What?
Burberry Her.
Wait.
Nope. Burberry Goddess.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm like, there's already a Burberry Her intense,
I guess even as I say that, they're probably not going to double down on the vanilla because it's already a triple vanilla. That's true. Like, what would they do, you know? make me mad. top perfume brand. And we hate brands on this show, and I've had it up to here, but I will ask the question.
Again, Mathieu Premier.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't say, nope, that is not what I meant. That is exactly what
I wanted to know what you were going to say, what you thought I was going to say.
I thought you said, who does Patchouli Maïti?
Corbelli.
But you said Mathieu Premier. Okay.
They released Vanilla Powder, which was an unexpected plot twist.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I'm confused by it, but I like it.
Yeah, same.
But I'm confused by it. It's like very, yeah. It's a very enemies to lovers pipeline on that one. No, it's not. It's a friends to lovers. Just kidding. Anyway, I just think all of their scents. I still have all the little 7 ml bottles of, not their entire collection, but a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I wear it, it just, it's so good. They're a scent that whichever one you buy, it probably doesn't matter what you wear, but it's going to last. You're going to get a shit ton of compliments.
Yeah.
And that could be a one sprayer. When I wear Crystal Saffron, I'm minimum 2 sprays, but 2 sprays with Crystal Saffron, I can smell it the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. So many compliments with that one, but I also just really love it.
Yeah. What's my brand?
Perfume brand. I feel like you rode pretty hard for Net this year.
I did, yeah. But the thing of it is, 2 out of 5 ain't bad. Yeah. Net took up a lot of brain space for me.
Yeah.
I guess as did Ellis Brooklyn, but I think what got me into it was very early last year, so maybe that's not it this year. But also, Spotify rap doesn't hinge on the year it comes out, because my favorite album of this year came out fucking 5 years ago.
It's just what you did this year.
Yeah, I think I am comfortable saying Net.
Because I put it in your brain just now?
No, I was actually trying to avoid it because the collection itself, I really like. I think it's really lovely. I myself don't, I think it's another one like Hawthorne where they might be checking boxes right now, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But I do love, obviously, La Forêt. I love Tavani a lot. That one has been a slow grow for me too.
Mm-hmm.
I love the coconut one.
Oh, right. Cocoa Flare.
Uh-huh. And then I love the one that is coming this spring.
Oh.
And I think that I would love to see. I'm just excited to see what we see from them in the next 3 years.
Yeah, I agree.
And also like candles.
That's true. You ride for their candles more, I really
do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so fake and stupid.
Or I thought you were going to say Boy Smells.
Okay, wait. You took it out of my mouth because I feel like we can't get through this episode and also say, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Favorite note being vanilla and favorite this or that brand, whatever, and not talk about Vanilla Era.
Mm-hmm.
They gag the girls. Everyone loves Vanilla Era.
I think that's definitely one of the most unique vanillas. Completely. That, along with the Ariana Grande Vanilla Mod. Those two, I think, are very unique vanillas.
I went back to Vanilla Mod a lot this year.
Yeah.
And I didn't go back to it in the way that I go back to Cloud, in that I'm obsessed with it and it's my favorite. And it's part of my personal brand, whatever, but I went back to Mod Vanilla so much because it is just so good and comforting.
Yes.
And intelligent. I don't know. It's just so good.
Vanilla Mod also for me follows that sparkling, musky cashmere scent profile.
Yeah.
But it's like a little bit more playful because there's the big fluffy vanilla in it.
Yeah.
But I love that it's like a fluffy, light, translucent vanilla.
It to me is, what am I trying to say? It is, I'm trying to say, like, held back. Like, it's like a tempered vanilla.
It is.
It's like, it's very vanilla for the sake of vanilla, but it gives you a little bit more to, as you have said before about other things, like, it gives you like a scaffolding of other things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
There is like a glassy, a crystalline kind of factor to it.
And I think I'm just repeating what you're saying about the muskiness and the paperiness. Papyrus is in there too. Oh, it's so good.
Each time I wear that too, I get tons of compliments.
Yeah. I wore that and someone told me I smelled like a ponytail. And I was
oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
like a ponytail.
But
that's so funny.
Back to Vanilla Era. I love Boy Smells for a billion reasons of course. I love vanilla, so hello. But that one really got me together.
Yeah.
And
I really, really want them to make a fragrance from their Grace Jones candle.
Yeah.
So
I think that if Vanilla Era were to never have happened, I would feel differently about Vanilla Powder from Maison Crivelli, which I do, but they're...
No, from Mathieu Premier.
Yep. And they're similar enough.
Yes. I agree.
That they scratch the same itch for me.
Yeah.
They're different.
They are different.
I look at vanilla powder as cold and I look at vanilla era as warm.
I could see.
But I like them both.
Yeah.
I think my favorite fragrance of, it's so hard to pick between La Ferrette and vanilla era. And maybe we don't have to. Maybe I don't have to. But I think my favorite fragrance of the year is La Ferrette. I think the best fragrance of the year is vanilla era.
Whoa.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah. Shots fired.
What is it? I don't know what my best fragrance of the year is.
So what are you going to make for your book? Well, that's next year.
That's 2024, technically. Yeah. We'll see.
You're like, shut up. We're still in 2023.
I paid the deposit. It's happening.
Did you?
Yeah.
Period.
Oh, that's another thing I forgot I spent money on last week. Wait, do we have any more categories left? Favorite artist?
Wait, did you say your fragrance of the year?
Proud of Paradox.
Proud of Paradox. Favorite artist?
Rated artist.
What do you mean?
Like perfumer?
I don't give a fuck about perfumers.
I can't say that.
Yes, I can.
They're going to come for us.
Who's yours?
I don't know.
I think mine. You know what? No, I will say. I will say. Mm-hmm. I'll say their name. However, I don't know it. Courtney from Universal Flowering is probably my perfumer of the year.
I love her shit.
Yeah.
Saffron Flower.
I really do. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I would say Marissa Zappas also, but I feel like she's like the fairy godmother of this show, respectfully.
I feel like a lot of fragrances that I've enjoyed this year, I've looked at the perfumer and it's always been Frank Vogel. He's doing it. But at the same time, I also have really liked a bunch from Quentin Bish.
Okay.
And our guy, Rodrigo.
Yeah, Rodrigo. Khalees Becker, too.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Did I fuck her name up or is that right?
Khalees? No, that's right.
Okay. We got to get her on the show.
Weren't we trying to? She just like wouldn't respond.
I don't think we got a good connect.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right.
I think I reached out to her via LinkedIn. LOL.
Yeah. She's not looking at her LinkedIn.
Yeah, God. I never look at mine.
I don't look at mine either.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's going to sound shady and I really actually don't mean it to be.
Okay.
Do you think, so I know that everyone's tapping Frank Vogel to do everything right now, and which we love, we celebrate for him, but you know what? No, this is just going to show my ignorance. But my question to you is, does a Frank Vogel scent now mean what it used to? And by that, and I don't mean quality and I don't mean scarcity, nothing to do with him. I think what I'm asking is when he is tied so closely to like the Glossier U and the Santal, and I feel like he, now that he's getting tapped so much, and like you've said on the show this year a lot, that we're talking a lot more about perfumers. So maybe he's getting tapped just as much. We're just bubbling that up more in messaging. I feel like he's done a lot this year that goes left of what we expect from Frank Vogel, you know? So,
well, it's not like he's not like a music producer where he's going to have a signature. Like, he's fulfilling a brief. So he has to give the client what they want. It's not about his taste.
Totally.
I mean, obviously his taste will be incorporated because he's the artist.
Yeah.
But ultimately the client has the say on what gets selected.
That's fair.
But, and it's possible that maybe he wins all the briefs just because he's well-versed in appeasing what people say they want, probably. But I don't know. I think a lot of his scents have a universal appeal to them, no matter the scent profile.
Yeah.
They're very well-balanced.
Yeah. And I truly did not mean anything by that. Because
he also made Vanilla Maud. Oh, wait, no. He made the other one. The Blush Maud.
Maud Blush.
Wait.
Did he really? That's cool. Well, because I think I was trying to get to a part where to say that I think it's really cool when someone taps Frank Vogel and I smell the scent and it's like completely left of what I thought. You know what I mean? It's like he can do it all.
Wait, doesn't Fragrantica does not say who made Vanilla Maud. Hmm. So I'm going to have to assume it is also Frank Vogel.
You know, I will say that when we met him this year at that Fermentation event?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Yeah, yeah.
I was a little starstruck.
I was too.
You know, not that we meet real celebrities every day, but we are around enough of them because of our weird ass fucking jobs. But I don't really ever feel a type of way, usually. Not always, but usually. And someone was like, that's Frank Vogel. And I was like, what?
I mean, I recognized him from his photo.
I didn't.
Because he has his headshot on like a lot of fragrance stuff. But ooh, also another perfumer, Aurélien Guichard. How could I forget? The Matthieu Premier founder and perfumer.
Why have we not had him on the show yet?
Oh my God. Okay. I need to just email them.
Yes.
I've been so scatterbrained. I just need to.
Fine.
Please. I think I emailed one of their publicists and they were like, please email these other publicists. And then my brain was like, nope.
No.
Don't. It's not this publicist is in the wrong castle. It's a different castle. But yes, he did Burberry.
Goddess.
No, the one with Adam Driver as the horse.
Burberry.
Hero.
Hero.
Yes.
Okay.
He did Burberry Hero. Who the fuck did Burberry Goddess? I'm like, if it was him, I swear to God. No, that was Amandine Claire-Marie.
Mm.
That was a woman.
A woman.
It does. A woman.
Lightning round.
Lightning round. Oh my God.
Top 5 cents of the year.
Sorry
to do this to you.
Okay. Dies Nurgle Mustachio.
Not this year. Yeah, I guess this
year. Well, it's what I wore this year. Matea Premia Crystal Saffron. Prada Paradox. Brooklyn Ellis. B. I wore that a lot.
You did wear B. The honey one, right?
Yes, that's the honey one. And what else did I wear? Killing Princess.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Okay, mine are Boy Smells Vanilla Era, Ariana Grande, Mod Vanilla, Ellis Brooklyn Sunfruit, Dies Nurgle Pistachio. Mm-hmm.
Did you wear that a lot?
I don't know.
I think you wore it a lot when it came. You definitely wore it a lot when we first got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I am going to swap that one out. Kylie Vanilla. God, all I wore this year was vanilla and Burberry. Nope. Byredo Black Saffron.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow.
What a year. This episode is so long. We have so much shit to cut out of it.
So much shit to come out of this. Anyway, I feel pretty confident about that wrapped. I'll probably think of something right after we record and edit that I'm like, why didn't I say that? But anyway, smell you later. The podcast about questioning our careers.
And existence.
And existence, as well as the smells we like and hope you like as well. Thank you for listening to our podcast. And if you are new as of this year, sorry, and also thank you. Please take this with a grain of salt.
No, we can back this one. This is just our opinions.
Totally, totally.
Of which we have many.
But it's really nice, actually, when people... I feel like we get this comment a lot that people will listen to the podcast because we have these guests on that they're impressed with, which, thank you. But then they'll stay because they really like our one-on-one episodes, which I'm always surprised by.
Yeah, I'm like, are you sure?
I know, I'm like, are you sure?
I think, you know, we work so hard to get all these guests on, like we have always said, and we're very lucky to have had the guests that we do, but I feel like the feedback that we get is just always about the two of us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we didn't want this show to be about us, and that's fine, but it's nice to have it to fall back on as a default if we don't have a guest. But I'm also like, what do we fucking working our asses off for to schedule all these motherfuckers if they just want to hear us, you know?
I know.
But I think it's nice that the feedback that we get is very nice, usually. And I'm very grateful for it. And I'm grateful for this community of listeners. I don't want to sound fucking trite, but I am.
I am too. It's funny because I always suspected that people love to talk about scents and smells and fragrances, but there's just not really a mainstream forum to do that. Not saying we're it, because we are definitely not.
No, but nor do we want to be honest.
If you smell it, they will come.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Do you have a favorite episode from this past year?
As you know, I don't remember a single thing we've done, including this episode. Sable texted me Thursday or something. She's like, do you want to do Smelly Later Wrapped on Saturday? And I was like, yeah, that's a really good idea. Also, can you tell me what that is? Favorite episode? Do you?
I do. Our live episode we did this year.
That's such a good answer. Yeah. I was just thinking about how we did that. God, life is long.
I was so nervous that... Life is long. That was like last March we did that.
Yeah. Were you nervous?
I was so nervous. Oh my God.
I weirdly wasn't, just because I was just like, no. I mean, I was a little nervous, but it was also like, we have no control over this.
Exactly.
And I was sort of like, this is going to go how it's going to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Not that we really ever do this often, but I was like, please don't let this be the first time that we both just choke and don't know what to do.
I actually think that for us, just we didn't wing it, but like we never done it before.
We didn't know
what to expect. Exactly. I think that could not have gone better.
I agree. I was very pleased.
Now the panel following.
Oh God. Oh my God. Yeah.
I don't think that went poorly. So we did this live episode. Then we immediately went downstairs to another venue and did a panel.
Yeah.
Like one off the other. And I think our nerves were so shot from the first one that going out into a bigger audience and a much scarier setup, I blacked the whole thing out.
Oh my God.
I remember it going but I don't. I could sort of sense both of our nerves and our fatigue.
There's nothing I hate more than being asked to explain myself in real time.
That, and also, like, we both don't like, I think, like, talking about the podcast.
No, we don't.
Out in our lives. And of course, the place that you would talk about a podcast is a podcast convention. Yeah. But, like,
it was at least the best audience because they were actually interested in what we had to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was an odd situation to put ourselves in for that second panel, because we're just, I don't know, we do the show.
That's
we produce
the
it, then we put it out.
Exactly. I'm like, we just listen to it. That's how you'll know. Mm-hmm. We made this whole thing for you. Please don't ask us to sell it to you as well.
Well, and you made the point too that essentially everyone else, their podcast was their full-time job and their brand and their identity. And
that's crazy to me.
And that's not what it is to us. It's not. It's part of the bigger picture. It's just one thing we do throughout the week. And so I think that was also, we just had a more casual relationship with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was funny.
Like the few people I know who have like professional podcasts that have like producers and they're on a network, I didn't realize that there are there are people on that team, also known as producers, who literally craft the show for them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, here, we found the guests, we found the topics, all you have to do is basically create the script.
It's like a late night show.
Yeah. So I was like, wow, if I fucking had that would be great.
Right.
But I don't know, I also am, I'm not really a control freak in a lot of things except any of my creative projects. And then I'm like, no, I have to do it. Yeah. So. I cannot even imagine having a producer who'd be like, do this. I'm like, no.
No.
No. We're going off script again. And they would get really frustrated because they're like, I did so much work for you and you just didn't use it.
I think that, that's such a great answer. I don't even think about that as an episode, even though it obviously is. I think that's mine as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked our episode with the author of the smell book.
Yes.
Liam Findlay of Aroma Prime. I really liked that episode. I love when we have guests on that are outside of the fine fragrance world.
Yeah.
Just, it's interesting. I don't know. I would like more guests like that. They're just a lot more difficult to source.
Yeah.
Because we're basically cold emailing these people and crossing our fingers.
Right.
Which we've had a pretty good luck with. But there have been a couple that I'm like, I would have really liked to get, but they just don't answer my emails.
So. Yeah. I think it's also sort of an odd ask if you're not like...
It is.
A person directly in the industry.
Agreed.
Although, I don't know, I know that you agree. Because you just said it. Yeah. We both want to do more of those. And I would, I don't know, I've been thinking about the way that we talk to brands on the show and all of this. I had a publicist piss me off last week and I said to Sable, what if we just stop talking to brands? Who are we doing this for?
It's the 2024 challenge. No more brands.
I don't want to go into the year with a devil may care attitude, but I'm also like, if you're a brand.
No brands, no masters.
You can burn in hell. Yes.
Anyway. This episode has gone on long enough.
We need to shut up.
We need to shut the fuck up. But also, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
You can leave us a lovely 5 stars review.
5 stars only.
5 stars only on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere else you listen to podcasts that allow you to click stars. 5 chili peppers, please. You can find us at our website, smellyoulater.live, where we have our merch, and you can leave us a message on our hotline. You can follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.np3. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck, and until next time, we will smell you later.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.